This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hi, y'all, and welcome to an episode of She Builds Charrettes.
As a reminder, in these charrettes, we talk more about certain topics, make major announcements, conduct interviews. Basically, She Builds Charrettes is our playground for things outside of our typical format.
We began 2025 with a resolution to ramp up our volunteer efforts. Hashtag get involved. We've had the great pleasure of learning more about WEA Austin, SoFlow NOMA, Architecture is Political, and Girls in Civil. And today, we want to continue learning more about great organizations we can get involved with. So we invited TXA President-elect Kristen Hecker to join us on the show.
Kristen is a partner at Mina Dar Group in Houston, Texas, where she serves as the multifamily practice leader and manages operational and people processes. Kristen is currently serving as the Texas Society of Architects president in 2026 and has previously served in various capacities within AI Houston and TXA.
Welcome, Kristen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
How's it going? How you doing?
I'm good. Just happy to be here. Happy to enjoy my Saturday with you guys.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Well, how about we start by you sharing a fun fact about yourself so our listeners can get to know you a little better?
Sure. This is a fun fact that I've been sharing over the last year as I've been traveling across Texas and meeting with our members. This state of Texas is very important to me. I've actually, my family's been in Texas for 7 generations.
Wow.
So I'm a 7th generation Texan. My family was in Texas when it was a country.
Wow.
Yeah. All of my family on all sides has really been in Texas for at least 4 or 5 generations. So we all settled kind of around central South Texas, around San Antonio and Austin.
That's so cool.
Fun fact, we have an episode about that when we talked about hometowns and we told the story about the mother of Texas.
Yeah, it was not my grandmother, but close.
Oh my gosh, this would have been a whole different show of us like freaking out.
Do you know if anyone in your family knew Charlotte Baldwin or the Allens or Sam Houston?
Probably not, but they did come over on a boat with a German prince. So maybe.
That is really fun.
That is a really great fun fact. Okay, so I know that you're the president of TXA or the Texas Society of Architects, but why don't we take it a step back. Could you explain the difference between TXA and the AIA? Like, is it AIA Texas? Is it something different?
Sure. When you are a part of the American Institute of Architects, you are actually a part of three tiers of an organization. So AIA National, you have a state component, and you have a local component. In Texas, we call our component the Texas Society of Architects. Pretty much every component in the organization is AIA something. We're actually one of two components that holds a different name. So Texas Society of Architects and Boston Society of Architecture are the only two. In Texas, we have to be different and special.
That feels so Texas.
Yes, it really does. But it is a challenge with communication and understanding, because even some of our members do not realize that they are part of the Texas Society of Architects.
Can you be a part of the Texas Society of Architects without being a part of the AIA?
No.
Gotcha. See, I was confused too. I thought that when I became a licensed architect, I was automatically a part of the Society of Architects in Texas.
In theory, but not in paper.
Yep. You are not one of our members. However, you know, what we like to say, and this is across the organization, is our organization benefits our members primarily, but it also benefits the entire profession. So even if you're not a member, you are gaining a lot of benefit from us, especially at the state level, because that's where we spend time with advocacy with our elected officials at the state level. So all of the architects in our state benefit from our organization, even if they're not a part of it.
Good to know.
Hashtag get involved.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, so we talked about TXA, but do you want to explain a little bit more of, like, when did TXA begin, or how did you begin your journey into volunteering, and how did you find your way to TXA yourself?
Sure. So the organization has been around since 1939, almost 90 years. And
wow.
Yeah. How I found myself at TXA was really initially through involvement in my local chapter in Houston. So with AI Houston, helping to co-found the Women in Architecture Committee there and really building a network of other architects, mentors who knew me. And my name got put forth for a committee at the state level when they were really looking to increase involvement from AI Houston members. So because I was involved locally, my name got put forth. And I think, as you guys know, once you start saying yes to one thing, people keep asking you and it never stops. So here I am about 10 years later, and I've done a lot of things back and forth between local component and state component.
That's amazing. I know that the call for volunteers is going on right now.
Yes, it is. We've always had an open call for volunteers for the state organization. We've made it a lot more transparent and equitable by publicizing that. So every year we have an open call. It's generally open all year, but for next year's volunteers, it closes on October 3rd. And those are for volunteers specifically for our committees. We've got a number of committees that I'm happy to go into or give you guys to drop in the show notes. And we do a lot of different things, from advocacy to EDI to education outreach, design and honor awards. So there's a number of ways to get involved at the state level. It's not necessarily the same committees you see at your local components. You do have to be a member of our organization to be on our committees. That's the one caveat there. And then we also, in the spring, have a slightly different open call for nominations for our board positions. And you can nominate yourself or you can nominate someone else, depending on what the position is.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's what I was going to ask. Did someone nominate you, or was it at the time when you started getting involved, was it an open call and you were like, hey, I could give this a try?
To be honest, when I started getting involved with TXA, at first I didn't really know what I was getting into. So yeah, someone found me and asked me to participate. There was not a public open call for volunteers like there is now. And that was an initiative that some of my predecessors championed, and I got to participate in as well when I was on the board implementing that. So
I really like that, because I did check out the call for volunteers, and I liked how you explain the descriptions of everything, what you do. I think you can give as much information as possible and you still don't know what you're getting involved into. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the board positions, though, that was a nominated position where someone or some number of people from the nominations committee identified me. There was, even for that at the time, there wasn't as much of an open call to nominate yourself for those positions. So a lot of that has really changed in the last 5 or 6 years to make it more equitable, increase the diversity of volunteers that we have at both our board and committee level.
Mm-hmm. I remember you mentioning that the board makes an effort to make sure that different cities are getting represented.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we can't have two presidents from Houston in a row.
That is correct.
Does it work that same way with all the committees, or is it just the executive committee?
So, yeah, we do make a concerted effort to increase the diversity of the regions in our committees and on our board. The only position that we cannot have consecutive people from the same chapter is the president and president-elect position. So that's the one, it's in the bylaws. The rest of it, really, we could have consecutive people from the same component if it made sense and it was the best decision for the organization.
Well, I don't know if we have time for you to share all the programs and efforts of Texas, because we know everything's bigger in Texas. But what are some like key programs or key efforts that you want to highlight that TXA has going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the efforts we already talked about, which is increasing our member engagement and member involvement at the committee and board level. One of our biggest program is our state conference. So it's a pretty large undertaking. I think the best comparison that you can make to our conference is a smaller version of what National does. We have essentially the same type of programming across the board they do. It's just a regional conference for our state, and it's still a quite large conference as well. That's a big effort. And then as a state component, advocacy is always a huge part of what we do. We obviously just finished our legislative session earlier this summer. We spent a lot of time during the legislative session working with our elected officials, reading bills, but even the years in between legislative years, we have a lot of ramping up we do, meeting with potential elected officials, fundraising for our political action committee, and then preparing for agendas that we'll want for that upcoming session. And then I think another thing that's pretty unique about our state component in Texas is we also have really high quality magazine. I think it rivals some national publications in the architecture profession. So that's something that we have a lot of staff resources and committees that work on that specifically. And it's really high quality. We don't just focus on everything in Texas. You know, we also branch out and talk about things outside of the state.
Can non-Texans get this magazine?
Yes, you can. I'm sure we can figure out how to get you one, Jessica.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to ask, where do we sign up?
If you're a member of AIA and the Texas Society of Architects, you should be getting a magazine.
I am.
Yeah, so you better check your mail. Someone's stealing your mail, Nojiri.
I think so. Not to get too into it, but there's an A in my address, like number and then a letter A. The mail people just get so confused.
Well, if this magazine rivals, as Kristen says.
Yeah, I think my neighbor has been enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to her.
Let me know. I can try to get you guys.
Thank you. We have a hookup. Since you brought it up, now I'm curious about conference. But that's happening soon, right?
Yes, that's coming up in about a month. We'll be in Dallas on October 30th through November 1st.
Nice. So is it called TXA Conference? Because I've been calling it TXA Expo this whole time.
It's conference and expo. So it's both.
Okay. So there's an expo at the conference.
Yes.
Similar to AI National.
Yes. Very similar.
Gotcha. You're educating us so much today.
That's what I'm here for.
Always learning.
We're always learning. So what can people expect to see or learn at conference? Why should they attend?
Yeah, so it's a really great place to connect with your peers. That's always my favorite part about going. On top of all the amazing networking that is possible, we also have a very large expo, so you can connect with vendors and see products. We have 3 amazing keynote speakers. So this year we have Arnie Emerson of Morphosis, Vishan Chakrabarty of the Practice of Architecture and Urbanism, and Carol Ross Barney of Ross Barney Architects. So we always have those 3
wow.
keynotes. And then we have about 20 to 25 tours in the city that we're located, and about 60 to 70 other continuing education that we do. We honor all of our honor awards recipients for the year during our keynotes. So there's a lot going on. There's usually a puppy pavilion as well. So that should be enough motivation for most people. But
always a highlight.
Yes.
Speaking on that, okay, so that's how I remember, because me and Nerjadi were trying. She was like, I think you've met Kristen before. And I was like, I think I had, and we were trying to remember. And now I know. We thought we met you at a national conference, but I think I saw we met for the first time at the TXA conference in Houston last year.
Yes.
Probably.
That's true.
I was running around everywhere because I chaired that committee and
was
very busy those 3 days.
But it was good. It was a good time.
It really was.
Yeah. And we did run into each other at National as well.
Yes. But that wasn't the first time.
But I really like TXA conference and expo. I have such a good time every time I go. So I really think that people should do it, even if you're not a member yet.
Yes.
So where can people purchase tickets? How do they go?
Yeah, so everything is on the texasarchitects.org website, and there's a specific landing page that takes you to registration for conference. So there's different rates for members and non-members. So check it out. There's also single day rates typically, and additional add-ons you can do for tours and other events. And honestly, it's a really good deal compared to a lot of similar conferences. So highly recommend for a lot of different reasons.
So listeners, check out shebuildspodcast.com. We'll take you there.
So we've talked about the conference. Now let's talk about you as president-elect.
Yeah.
Is there a specific initiative you're most excited about or that you're going to focus on as president-elect?
Yeah, so as president-elect, my job is not necessarily to focus on initiatives. I do oversee a handful of committees as a commissioner of operations. But one of my primary roles this year, as is for every president-elect of our organization, is to visit with our members. And so I've been spending a lot of time traveling across the state of Texas to meet with as many of our components as possible and meeting with members directly in their communities. So that takes up a lot of my time this year. Really, the initiatives and things I want to accomplish will happen moving into next year. So it's kind of ramping up for that right now.
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability. Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guidepost for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.
Okay. So, quick question, because I'm always curious about people that volunteer at the capacity that you do. How does that work with your day job?
It's a very good question. So I'm actually in a very fortunate position. As of earlier this year, I became a partner with Mirador Group. I've been with the company for 12 years, and they have seen me do a lot of different things in that period of time. I have two really great business partners now who used to be my bosses. And they have always been incredibly supportive of me pursuing different volunteer opportunities. So they're very flexible with me. I work my schedule around the opportunities, the board meetings, the committee meetings, and they have seen the importance of that for me, but also the value that that's brought to the firm and the connections I've made, the skills I've built, and even the visibility the company has got through me doing these things. So I recognize I'm in a fortunate position that I had people who supported that, and that may not be available at every company. So this year specifically, it's very helpful that I am a partner. So I have a lot more agency to do the things I need to, because I'm spending a lot of time away from our office this year and next year.
But it's good. I'm glad you were able to answer that, because I think it's an important point for our listeners, especially if they're firm leaders, to see the benefits of having employees or staff members volunteer. And yeah, I can imagine that as you move up as a leader of your firm, you're also moving as a leader in the industry and the profession and the organization outside of work. So they're all good tools to have. And I wish more firms would know that.
Yeah, it's a really important point that I've been very fortunate to experience, and didn't really know that this would be the result. But the opportunities I've had through AIA have made me a leader quicker, have given me opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I was able to take that leadership training, those opportunities, and negotiate for things quicker, and to prove that I deserve to be in leadership quicker, and to even ask to become a partner with the company quicker. So for me, that's the story I like to tell, is that I wouldn't be where I'm at with my company if I hadn't gotten involved in AIA. And I also would not have stayed with my company as long as I had if they hadn't supported it.
Yeah, good things all around.
That's so wonderful. Well, I was thinking about it too. Like, you're not only building up all this, but you're also proving it to yourself. Like, at least for me, I've noticed that ever since I have gotten involved with the AIA and Jessica, Kristen was part of the Christopher Kelly Leadership Development Program too.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. I should have known. I was like, leader, duh.
I was in that inaugural class in Houston, so I got to do that, which was really fun. And now I love that I participated in it, because I try as best as I can to get other employees at our company to do the program. So we've graduated several people from the program. And
nice.
You know, there's currently 3 graduates of Christopher Kelly in Houston that work with us.
Yeah. Thank you for your continued support.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was my starting point into getting more involved in general and with the AIA. It was the CKLDP and the things we learned there, the connections we made, and that's been like my springboard. Do you have one that was that for you? Was it the Women in Architecture?
Yeah, it was definitely Women in Architecture for me. I hadn't been really involved in much before then. I think I had been so focused for so many years on getting my degree, getting my other degree, studying for a bunch of exams, doing all those things that you were supposed to do to get to being an architect. And once I got there, I realized I didn't have a lot of other things occupying my time or fulfilling me in the same ways that working towards something had. So that's really when I had found this group of women who were also feeling a lot of the same things I was and wanted that community. So we built it together back in 2016. And so we're coming up on 10 years. I was the second chair of that committee. Did not think I had the experience to do it, but someone else believed in me. And I'm really excited that next year, our chair in our 10th anniversary year will actually be one of my employees, Sarah Harpole.
Oh,
yes. I am so excited for her. I met her through CKLDP too.
Yeah. Connects everyone.
That's awesome.
She was in the committee when I was a scholar. I would like to call her friend ever since.
Oh,
that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. She's lovely. Kristen, is there anything that you are most excited about being president next year?
Yeah. One thing that I get to do next year, which is the same thing for every president, is I get to theme our conference and I get to really have a heavy hand and what that looks and feels like. So I'm really excited about that. We'll actually be in San Antonio next year, which was really my second home growing up. As I mentioned, my family settled around South Central Texas, so that's where both my parents are from. So I'm excited. It feels a little bit like a homecoming for me to get to host conference there. And next year, also an initiative that we're taking on that I will get to lead is a strategic planning exercise for the organization, something we haven't done in a number of years. So we're kind of at a really pivotal point because of a number of different reasons. And so we're really excited to see what the future of our organization, what we want that to look like for the next 5 or 6 years. So I'm excited to lead that next year.
Because isn't it like strategic plans, they're kind of like in that 5-year increment?
Yeah, they say 3 to 5 years. There's a number of reasons, but we're actually on an 8-year strategic plan right now, which was not the intent, but it's time for us to do it again and make sure that what we're doing aligns with, you know, what our priorities are.
And I think I read somewhere that AIA Nationals on there, either they just published it or they're about to go into it.
Yeah, they've been surveying, National has been surveying people. They have a strategic plan task force and they should be releasing that strategic plan for 2026 to 2028, I believe. So they have not released that yet.
Which is always like so fascinating to me to see like where the world is at when they establish that, because then it dictates like the initiatives and all that stuff. So it's cool little markers to see like where it was before and then what the focus is incoming. So
yeah, I'm interested to see what stays from what we've currently mm-hmm. been focused on and what is new that gets introduced into our strategic plan.
Yeah.
Are strategic plans confidential, top secret, or is that something that you could come back next year and tell us about how it went? Where is TXA focused now? Is that something you can do?
It's not confidential. It's something that our board goes very in-depth in. Our committees are aligned with it. And as I've been going around and visiting our components across the state, I've actually been talking to them about what our current strategic plan is and how that shows up. So it's something I'm happy to come back once we know what it's going to look like and share more if you guys want.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I would ask you to share the strategic plan right now if we weren't almost at the end of the charrette.
Let's get the new stuff. So we'll wait.
Yeah, we're making plans to see you again.
Sounds good.
So what are ways people can get involved with TXA?
Yeah, I mean, I think our members committees, like we talked about, are ways that everyone can get involved. Also our board. There's other things that I think are really important once we're in a legislative session. So being a bill reader, coming to Texas Architects Day, which is our day at the Capitol, you know, participating as a citizen architect with our organization. For our magazine, we're always looking for ideas. And so there is a pitch portal on our website that you can always pitch ideas based on what the specific publications are going to be themed around. And we also are always looking for people to contribute as writers of those articles. So there's a number of ways you can participate there. With our conference, we have volunteers that show up and do some day of work. So I think that might still be available as an option for our members to participate. And then I think just coming to our programming, and you know, we have online things that we do, we have things in person. So participating in that, design awards, honor awards, there's a lot of different initiatives going on.
That's so awesome. Well, like I said, unfortunately, we have reached the end of this amazing conversation. We always like to end with one question. So, Kristen, in our regular episodes, we pick a caryatid, a woman who is working today, holding up the profession. Who would you say is a caryatid for you right now? Someone whose work you're admiring or someone who inspires you?
Can I pick more than one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can pick a whole colonnade.
Yeah, I might. So I am extremely fortunate. I will be president of the Texas Society of Architects in its 88th year. And up until 2020, which is about 80 years into the organization, there had only ever been 4 women who had been president of the organization. for the first 58 years, there had been zero. And so zero women that had been president of the organization. I'm just going to give you the eight names, but four of them really specifically are my heritage. So in 1997, Jan Blackman was the first woman to be president of the Texas Society of Architects. In 2007, Elizabeth Chu Richter was the second. She was also a national president. In 2010, Heather McKinney was president. And in 2014, Val Glitch was president. But the four that I really lean on, they're four women that have been so important to me in my career. They are the ones who identified me for different leadership and have been on those nominations committees. They've been mentors, but now are friends. Are the four presidents, there was four consecutive presidents that were women from 2020 to 2023. So that was Connie Rivera in 2020, Audrey Maxwell in 2021, Eva Reid Warden in 2022, and Nikki Maroney in 2023. I recently had the opportunity to put together a panel of inspirational women in architecture in Texas, and they were the first four I could have thought of and the first four that said yes. So they are my inspiration, but they're also now some of my closest friends and allies, and wouldn't be able to do what I do as president without their support.
You gave me goosebumps. That's lovely.
And I will be the ninth president that is a woman of the organization, and our slated president-elect after me is also a woman. Steffi Motel out of Austin is slated to be our president after me.
Oh,
amazing. Okay, we're going to need all those names for the show notes with the dates, everything you said.
I got you.
Please.
Of course.
Yay.
Yes. Okay, so Kristen, where can our listeners find you on social media so that they can connect with you as well?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. It's probably better I give you guys that because my name is spelled weird.
Sure.
I'm also on Instagram at the.arkrahek. Yeah, and then our organization, you can find us at texasarchitects.org or Texas Architects on any of the social platforms.
Cool. All linked in our show notes.
Now that you say that, I work with someone that used to work with you, and she told me about you had a page on Instagram where you took really pretty pictures. Is that the same page?
Yeah, I actually saw her. Yeah. I saw her recently, so I'm excited that she works over with you now.
Yeah. Do you still take those nice pictures?
Yeah, check it out. I'm in Mackinac Island right now.
Okay.
The weather must be gorgeous right now.
It is really beautiful. I had the fortunate opportunity to come here. The large states of AIA all gather once a year, and it was hosted by Michigan this year in Mackinac Island. So that's where I'm at right now.
Nice.
Lovely. Well, Jessica knows I'm not on social media ever. So that's why I'm not following your pictures as much as I should. But I will go today and be inspired by what you're seeing in Michigan.
Amazing.
Well, Kristen, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday, out of your beautiful trip at Mackinac Island to join us and to tell us about TXA and about the TXA conference and expo coming out happening in Dallas by the time you hear this charrette.
Yeah, remind us the dates, Kristen.
October 30th through November 1st.
Yes. So that's why we're here, to hype it up. And listeners, look out for season 14 coming up early next year.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much, Kristen.
Well, I really enjoyed this charrette. Hope all of you out there listening enjoyed it too. Please let us know what topics that you would like us to have a charrette on, and you might hear a future episode based on your suggestion.
Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links and further information on this charrette.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your charretters, everybody. Tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify, and tell them to write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website, shebuildspodcast.com/donate, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod. Until then, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.